Good morning, friends. It is a pleasure to be coming your way once again over the airwaves. We hope today finds each of you encouraged in pressing on in the ways of the Lord, for surely it is a pressing way. There's one verse of Scripture which says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Luke 16:16. We're living in a time when there are many problems. I'm sure there were problems in this world before we came, and there will be plenty of them when we leave here. However, I hope that we may, through the grace of God, contribute something that will be a help to those around us in solving their problems. Many of us are aware of some of the difficulties faced by the younger generation. May I say right here, before I go any further, that I am particularly concerned about the young people. They have plenty of problems, some of them for which they were not altogether responsible. Some of these problems were handed down to them from the past generation. So they need special help and encouragement. When we see so much disorder, riots, and civil disobedience, I'm made to believe that somebody, somewhere, has failed to do their duty. Do you remember the old expression which says, "A stitch in time saves nine"? I believe that if more teaching, instruction, and discipline had been invested in the youth of our land, we would not be required to gather such a vast harvest of disturbance. Now, someone may think, just what are you getting at? Well, let me come directly to the point. Listen to this scripture from Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Friends, do you believe that? This is a statement of fact and is not hard to understand. So when we see the reckless manner in which some of the youth of our land is living, I'm made to believe that some parents somewhere have failed to do their duty. Delinquent children are often the result of delinquent parents. Here's something which I believe will prove interesting. It will give us a greater insight into how folks lived many years ago in the 1700s and the manner in which they taught their children. Even though we have more light on the truth in these days, it might be well for us to remember how they trained their children and take a lesson from it. Now, this mother of 19 children who lived in England had plenty of experience, and two of her sons were preachers. Here then is some of her letter to one of her sons telling him how she trained her family. July 24, 1732. "Dear son, according to your desire, I have collected the principal rules I observed in educating my family, which I now send you as they occur to my mind. And you may, if you think they can be of use to any, dispose of them in what order you please." The children were always put into a regular method of living, in such things as they were capable of, from their birth, as in dressing, undressing, changing their linen, and so on. The first quarter commonly passes in sleep. After that, they were, if possible, laid into their cradles awake and rocked to sleep. And so they were kept rocking till it was time for them to awake. This was done to bring them to a regular course of sleeping, which at first was 3 hours in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. Afterward, 2 hours, till they needed none at all. When turned a year old, and some before, they were taught to fear the rod and to cry softly, by which means they escaped abundance of correction they might otherwise have had, and that most odious noise of the crying of children was rarely heard in the house, but the family usually lived in as much quietness as if there had not been a child among them. As soon as they were grown pretty strong, they were confined to 3 meals a day. At dinner, their little table and chairs were set by hours where they could be observed, and they were suffered to eat and drink as much as they would, but not to call for anything. If they wanted aught, they used to whisper to the maid which attended them, who came and spoke to me, and as soon as they could handle a knife and fork, they were set to our table. They were never suffered to choose their meat, but always made to eat such things as were provided for the family. Mornings, they had always spoon meat, sometimes at night. But whatever they had, they were never permitted to eat at those meals of more than one thing, and of that sparingly enough. Drinking or eating between meals was never allowed, unless in case of sickness, which seldom happened. Nor were they suffered to go into the kitchen to ask anything of the servants when they were at meat. If it was known they did, they were certainly beaten, and the servants severely reprimanded. At 6, as soon as family prayers were over, they had their supper. At 7, the maid washed them, and beginning at the youngest, she undressed and got them all to bed by 8, at which time she left them in their several rooms awake. For there was no such thing allowed of in our house as sitting by a child till it fell asleep. In order to form the minds of children, the first thing to be done is to conquer their will and bring them to an obedient temper. To inform the understanding is a work of time and must, with children, proceed by slow degrees as they are able to bear it. But the subjecting the will is a thing which must be done at once, and the sooner the better. For by neglecting timely correction, they will contract a stubbornness and obstinacy which is hardly ever after conquered, and never without using such severity as would be as painful to me as to the child. In the esteem of the world, they pass for kind and indulgent, whom I call cruel parents, who permit their children to get habits which they know must be afterward broken. Nay, some are so stupidly fond as in sport to teach their children to do things which in a while after they have severely beaten them for doing. Whenever a child is corrected, it must be conquered, and this will be no hard matter to do if it be not grown headstrong by too much indulgence. And when the will of a child is totally subdued, and it is brought to revere and stand in awe of the parents, then a great many childish follies and inadvertences may be passed by. I insist upon conquering the will of children betimes, because this is the only strong and rational foundation of a religious education, without which both precept and example will be ineffectual. But when this is thoroughly done, then a child is capable of being governed by the reason and piety of its parents till its own understanding comes to maturity and the principles of religion have taken root in the mind. I cannot yet dismiss this subject, as self-will is the root of all sin and misery. So whatever cherishes this in children ensures their after wretchedness and irreligion. Whatever checks and mortifies it promotes their future happiness and piety. This is still more evident if we further consider that religion is nothing else than the doing the will of God and not our own. That the one grand impediment to our temporal and eternal happiness being this self-will, no indulgences of it can be trivial, no denial unprofitable. Heaven or hell depends on this alone, so that the parent who studies to subdue it in his child works together with God in the renewing and saving a soul. The parent who indulges it does the devil's work, makes religion impracticable, salvation unattainable, and does all that in him lies to damn his child's soul and body forever. End of quote. Now, what do you think of that for disciplinary action as taken by a mother of 19 children in the 18th century? I'm afraid that most boys and girls would feel they were being really suppressed if brought into subjection in that manner, wouldn't you? Well, I'm not really advocating that they be handled in the same manner, But I do say she had some points well worth remembering, and she let it be known that children should be brought under subjection to their parents. Remember the text. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let us pray. Our Father, bless this message to the hearts of each and every listener. May grace, wisdom, and peace be imparted to each one who hears this broadcast. Help us not to forget the instructions left in your word, but may we teach them to our children with diligence. And thine shall be the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, if you have any comments about this message, let us hear from you. Address your letter to the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. We're trusting the Lord by faith to keep His Word going forth on the air so long as it is His will. And now this song, which is an old one, My Soul Be On Thy Guard. The singers are the Carvers, Lynn, Arnett, Genevieve, and Sharon.
My soul be on thy guard.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may the Lord's richest blessings abide with each of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.